Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you joining me back again this week as we dive into God's Word and ask the questions, what is God saying to me and what am I doing about it? What is God saying to us and what are we doing about it? And if you joined us last week, we had a set of interviews with Katie McGrady. She was on with us as we talked, as we were on the Good News Cruise. We talked about Ephesians 1 and we dove into God's Word and it was an amazing time. And now we're entering into one of the most special weeks of the year. We're here journeying together through Holy Week. And I'm so excited to walk through the scriptures with you this week on Holy Week. And I know we talked about this on Christmas, and Lent is a little bit different because it's longer, but sometimes it feels like when it gets to the week of Easter, it ends up being like the busiest time of all of Lent. And so it's this time where we're supposed to really be focusing so much on the Lord. But for so many of us, the practical challenges of our lives make it so it's like the busiest time. Maybe you're listening and you're like, yeah, Holy Week is when my kids are on spring break from school. Or maybe you're in college and you're like, yeah, it's Holy Week, but I have these finals, or I have these all these tests and all this homework or whatever it is. But it just seems for me, all of these distractions, not that school and kids are distractions at all, but all of these ways that the devil tries to take even my responsibilities and make them into distractions from the Lord, or make them into distractions from really focusing on Him this week, all come around this time. And I want this to be a place together where we can dive into the scriptures and we can take something out for each day to say, okay, what is our theme to walk with in this day as we walk with the Lord to Calvary? And to think about and imagine, where would Jesus' mindset have been at the beginning of this week? He knew with each passing day that he was getting closer and closer to his death. And what would have been going on in his spirit? What would have been going on in his prayer to the Father? And really just having this growing desire in me and for us to be present to Jesus and to be less concerned about what we're experiencing and how well we're doing on our Lenten fasts and if we're finishing really strong and all this stuff, but saying, how can we be present to Jesus in his suffering and his journey to Calvary? How can we drink the cup with him? How can we walk with him? How can we love him? How can we show him that we're present to him, that we're showing up for him? And that's what I want to develop this week as we walk through the scriptures. So we're very simply, the church gives us some amazing readings this week. And so I just very simply want to walk through some of those readings together. So some days we'll hit just the first reading. Some days we'll hit the Psalms. Some days we'll touch on the gospel. We're just going to see where the Holy Spirit takes us each day. And I encourage you, as always, we're going to read the readings here, but to find them in your Bibles and to go back later in your prayer times after listening to this and ask the Holy Spirit to take you deeper, to read the larger context, to underline these parts in your word, and to ask the Spirit to speak to you very specifically about what God is saying to you through these readings. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump into some of the readings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we enter into truly this holy week with you, where we walk with you in preparation for your death and ultimately for your resurrection. Jesus, we ask you for the grace to be with you each day where you are. That today, as we open up your word, as we sit with you, as we look for you, that we'd be able to be where you are, not jumping ahead to Easter, not jumping ahead to Good Friday, but being with you today on your walk to Calvary. We ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to see a lot of the readings in the first readings this week are going to be from Isaiah, right? Because there are these messianic prophecies. And it's interesting, around Christmas time, we see different readings from Isaiah and different readings from the Old Testament that are prophesying Jesus' coming in a particular way. And there's a way that now we're going to be reading Isaiah, and the prophets are going to be prophesying Jesus' death and prophesying what will happen through Jesus' death. And so we're going to go ahead and I'm going to read the first few verses of Isaiah 42, and we're going to start there. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching." I'm just going to finish the reading, actually. "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with its crops, who gives breath to its people and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon those who live in darkness." What a beautiful reading. Amen. So in the first paragraph, he's saying, Isaiah is prophesying, he's saying, "This is my servant whom I'm uphold." Who's the servant who he's uphold? Jesus. And I love just this first line because it says, "This is my servant." Friends, this is how Jesus prefers to be identified. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But we read even in the scriptures, he says, "I've come to not to be served, but to serve." That Jesus, he takes on human flesh. And he's saying, "I'm coming as the servant of all. I'm coming to serve you, and I'm coming to serve my Father. Here is my servant whom I'm uphold. Jesus whom I'm uphold. My chosen one with whom I'm pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit." What does this prophecy remind us of? For me, it reminds us of me of the baptism of Jesus. The Father coming over Jesus as he comes out of the Jordan River, saying, "My son, my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit is hovering over him. This was prophesied in Isaiah 42. And we see it again in the Transfiguration. The clouds opening up and the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved son upon whom I put my spirit." We know that he's talking about Jesus because we see this fulfilled. "And he shall bring justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth, and the coastlands will wait for his teaching." What does this mean? I love this. He's saying, "I will uphold my servant," right? And I'm sending my son Jesus, and he's going to bring forth justice in the nations. He's going to bring justice to the nations. He's going to bring peace to the world. He's going to establish justice on the earth. But how will he do this? Not by crying out, not by shouting, not by making his voice heard in the street, not by inciting violence, not by taking things with force. How will he do it? By laying down his life. "My servant whom I uphold, he will establish justice on the nations." My chosen one. This is the mission of Jesus. And we see this fulfilled in this week, friends. But on this Monday of Holy Week, there's this prophecy going out saying the chosen one, he's going to come and he's going to establish justice on the earth. But he's not going to do it with violence. He's not going to do it in a way that we think he's going to do it. He's not going to cry out. He's going to submit himself to the will of the Father. And as he does this, I love this. He says the coastlands will wait for his teaching, that the Son of justice will come upon the earth, and every human heart, regardless of if they know Jesus or not, is waiting for the Son of justice to rise over the earth and to establish justice in the nations. And Jesus does it through the cross. I love St. Paul. He says, "Making peace by the blood of his cross, the servant whom the Father upholds comes, and in perfect submission and obedience, he lays down his life so that he can take it up again. No one takes it from him, but he lays down his life." And I love the vision. The coastlands, the whole earth waits for him to establish justice. I want to skip to the gospel. We have John chapter 12. And I want to read very briefly John chapter 12. It says, 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." I'm going to stop there. So we see what Jesus is doing 6 days before the Passover, right? Soon, later in the week, Jesus will break bread with his disciples. We'll get there when we get to it. But today in the reading, Jesus, what is Jesus's mindset? What is he doing as he's preparing for his death? And we see this foreshadowing of the anointing of Jesus's body when it's taken from the cross. We see this foreshadowing of this beautiful honoring of Jesus. And I love this casual thing. It's Jesus is basically having dinner with this man that he raised from the dead and his sisters. I love it. Jesus was having dinner with Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And so then later, Jesus will be raised from the dead. But we see this image that John is telling us this story of saying there's two things going on. There's one who valued Jesus for who he was and one who did not. Mary took a liter of costly perfume made from genuine aromatic nard. This costly perfume that Mary had, this would have been a perfume that she was saving to use when she got married. That Jewish women, they had this costly nard, this costly perfume that they were saving for their wedding night. And it was very, very valuable. And Mary is saying, "What is the most valuable thing that I have? This represents everything that I have. I'm saving this for my beloved, and I'm choosing in a prophetic act to pour it out on you." And what she's expressing is, "Jesus, you're worth everything. You're worth this thing that is so costly to me. Why? Because you are my beloved, and I'm making a sign." And it says the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. The house was filled with the fragrance of this extravagant worship. And then you have Judas in this act of fake righteousness. He's like, "Why couldn't we give the money to the poor?" Because he's missing the value. He's missing the value of Jesus. But Mary doesn't. And so friends, on this Monday of Holy Week, as we begin to walk with Jesus in Calvary, let's put ourselves in the shoes of Mary. Are we valuing Jesus today, in this day, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today? How can we pour our oil? What is our oil? What is the most valuable thing that we have? How can you show Jesus today that you value him, that he is your beloved, that you treasure him, that you're putting him first, that you love him? This Jesus in this place, imagine where he would have been emotionally. He knows in 6 days, he knows in a week he will be crucified. And here's his friend, a woman that he loves, giving him this extravagant outpouring of love. Let's walk with Jesus and give him an extravagant outpouring of our love today. Join us again tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.